Astrology Podcast. My name is Alison Price and I'm here with my good friend Arwen O'Neill, and we're coming to you from Vancouver, Canada. This period we're going to be discussing the transits for the planets from July 27 to August 9th, 2014.
Yes.
And we'll be talking a little bit about the moon phases, and I believe we have a few book reviews, and then we're going to discuss our 360 topic, which this time is Leo.
Leo, yay. The king of the jungle. Among other things. Yeah, so we'll be talking about Leo later on. We've got some celebrity Leos and some historical Leos and some awesome Leo stuff to talk about. But before that, we are going to discuss the transits that are happening from July 27th through August 9th. And let's start on the 27th. We've got Venus opposite Pluto.
Yes.
Which is a bit of a dramatic one. What can we expect? It's not a full week. It's not a packed week full of lots of different transits. It's just that one and a couple of things happening on the 31st. So I would think that is going to be sort of a spotlighted transit, and that's going to be, a little bit power dynamics happening in relationships, mm-hmm. maybe, or
yes.
some manipulation or some kind of drama.
I think with those oppositions, you either like stand at the one side or the other.
Right.
So you're either going to be the Venus or you're going to be the Pluto, and I think
exactly.
Because that's what opposition tend to be. Oh, so it depends which role you ought to step in, perhaps.
Right. So if you are planning on manipulating somebody or...
or be manipulated.
Yes.
Or be the manipulatee.
Yes.
And I often think that when those two planets come together, it's financial.
Yeah, that too.
Because Venus rules your credit and Pluto rules your debt. So hopefully somehow you can make some balance.
Yes. It'll be thrown into your... court to make some balance there.
Financially, yes.
No pun intended.
yes. Yeah. When is the, we said that? That's July 27th.
July 27th.
Okay.
So then the next thing that's happening is July 31st. Mercury is going to be going into Leo, which is exciting.
Yes.
A little more summery kind of upbeat kind of communication style happening.
Speak from the heart.
Yep, totally. Coming out of Cancer, it'll be a little more outgoing, a little more sort of exuberant, maybe melodramatic, possibly.
Just straight up dramatic.
Straight up dramatic, yeah, exactly. Grandiose. Good time to, get on stage, maybe?
Verbally, yes.
Verbally?
Yes.
Good time to try to convince people of something, people who like to hear you talk, at least. Otherwise, it might be a bad time. You might just go on and on and on and, trying to leave, unable to.
Captive audience.
Make sure they are captive. Yes. Use some of that manipulative energy from earlier in the week. And then also on the 31st, we've got Venus trining Saturn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's going to kind of what's kind of more.
It's more of like a stabilizing sort of effect, I think. Dependability in relationships, sort of. The person you can lean on,
yes.
maybe, or financially speaking,
or firming up your relationship, maybe.
Yeah.
If you're at that kind of stage in your relationship,
if you've manipulated them into a position where
exactly, and you've spoken your mind already, then
yes.
you can just
accept that commitment, proposal, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's got to be it, I think, as well. Commitment, or making commitments, or realizing that there is more to it than you thought.
Right. Yeah. Totally.
If it's new, if it's old, you might think,
yeah.
What, this again,
Yeah, exactly.
That's the Venus trine Saturn,
yeah,
I was just going to say.
We also have, same day, all at once, Venus square Uranus, which is kind of the opposite of Venus trine Saturn.
Yes.
It's a bit of an impulsive, disruptive, provocative sort of influence on spending
That's
and
right.
on relationships.
Because Venus is moving in to make that T-square strengthen up that Pluto Uranus T square that week.
Yeah.
So romance,
mm-hmm.
whichever way you're playing it, whether you're single or it's going to be up to the fore and not necessarily the easiest thing to deal with, and financial are going to come be addressed.
Indeed. Yep.
So yeah.
And Venus is in what, Leo at this point?
Cancer.
Cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. So Venus is well placed in Cancer, and but it, bringing into that cardinal cross, it's a different one that we've had earlier the year.
Yeah, it can make it a bit more, you might feel a little more sort of put upon, you know, if you're playing the Venus role in that case. If you're in the Leo role, it might be a little more like, you know, you might be more of the instigator of that kind of tension and turmoil. But with Venus in Cancer, it might be just more like, why is everyone doing this to me kind of feeling.
That's right.
Yeah. So the next day, the August 1st,
it's a busy week.
Yeah, totally. Moving into a very busy week. August 1st, we've got Mars square Jupiter.
Yeah.
And that is, that's an aspect that's often said to be like the gambling aspect, I've heard. So it's a gambling aspect, it's reckless, it's optimistic, but maybe too optimistic.
And that's Friday night again, that's Friday the 1st, so that might be like, maybe take a chance, because you might actually get lucky.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's a good time to weigh the potential success versus risk.
Yes.
Yeah. So then what happens on the 2nd? We've got Mercury conjunct Jupiter.
Nice.
Yes, very nice. Yeah.
This is it, you know, when it comes together like that, it's all about how you speak when it's Mercury or Jupiter there. You might just shoot your mouth off. But if you've got a big story to tell, or you've got something that's been coming and welling up, that's the day to get it out.
Yeah, and we're talking about, you know, Mercury and Jupiter in Leo too. So, yeah, you know, like we said about getting on stage, that this is the time.
Get your megaphone out.
Yeah.
Exactly. Write it in a.
Yep.
Yes.
Rent that plane that writes. You know,
but you see, with Mercury in Leo and then conjunct the Jupiter, you are going to hear the truth on these days when Mercury's in Leo. You will get the truth, but you might not necessarily always like it. But what you get told, you might think, you know, and I'm pulling your face out that you can't actually see on my listeners. But
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there will be several people doing the talking and then there will be a lot of people doing listening necessarily.
Yes.
Yep. So on the same day, we've got Mercury square Mars.
Yeah.
Which is more of the same as it's a kind of like you know, watch for egomania and grandiosity in yourself and others, or else. That's what the addition of Mars means to me. It's kind of like, you know, all that ... or else there might be sparks flying. Anything you say may become fighting words.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then moving along to August 6th, Mars is going to be trining Neptune, so that will bring sort of an artistic flair to the reckless action.
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah.
You'll go down in style.
Yeah, artistic acts of grand, you know, heroic acts, or possibly just, you know, aimless, frenzied motion.
Okay.
Those are the two sides of the spectrum there.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the same day, two days later, Sun conjunct Mercury. This is obviously Sun catching up with the planets in Leo, and
that's the
moving
next
into
Friday,
the Leo time. It's a good thing.
Yeah. But that's a busy day, August the 8th.
Oh yeah, it's a very busy day. So we've got that, which is, you know, obviously happy. If you are Leo, you're going to be presenting yourself, you know, very well on this day, putting your best foot forward and communicating directly and clearly. The same day, Mercury is going to be trine Uranus, which is sort of a sparks flying kind of inspiring, electrifying energy, but since it's a trine, it'll be to your advantage if you can if you can harness that sort of, you know, the spirit of inspiration. Let's see.
We're really putting a positive spin on these now, aren't we?
Well, it's a trine, you know. let's see what else.
And then you've got the Sun there trining Uranus.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, the Sun is strong in Leo. It's just, and with conjunct Mercury, trining Uranus.
Yeah.
And something else we've got coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's all that. Using the element of surprise to your advantage if you can. If you're the one doing the proposing, for example, do something dramatic and extravagant and exciting. Don't blame us if she says no, though.
Pardon? Don't blame us.
Don't blame us if she says no, or he says no. let's see. Yeah, on the same day, we've got Mercury square Saturn. So that's got a tempering effect.
Okay,
exercising caution, which is not a bad idea with all of those other aspects going on. And
not, you'll get a toe in the door. I don't think that one. I wouldn't
Yeah.
But exactly. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
And then the very same, or
next day.
Next day, Sun square Saturn. So that's just Sun catching up to Mercury again, which will be another limiting, sort of restricting force.
So that Friday the 8th is going to be a busy day. I always think of it if you're going out Friday night. I don't know. The whole city seems to take off on Friday night.
Oh, yeah. All the street gets so roped off. It's crazy. We live on a very major street here in Vancouver, and it's right in the middle of Party Town.
It is.
Yeah. It's funny. Right after dark, it just gets all locked down by police cars and tape. It sounds dramatic, but it's actually just it's Friday night.
So we've got really quite a busy fortnight coming up, right?
We do.
And so how do you feel about these going out there? From your Virgo viewpoint,
yeah.
Do you think, oh my God, the Leos are coming, or how do you feel about it?
Well,
would you step into them?
It's just summer, you know? It's just got that... I'm sorry to all the, you know, Southern Hemisphere folks that we know are listening, and we love you. But
yes.
it is that feeling that, you know, that just the sun is shining, it's, you know, bright until like 10:30 at night, and it invites you to go out or just to, you know, watch from your window, or just to know that it's happening in the background and sort
yes.
of feel it. Yeah, it's just all that for me.
Great.
I since I don't go to school or anything, that's sort of a seasonal thing. There's nothing external that sort of fiscal year end and beginning doesn't really do much for me as far as.
So you could just lie on the beach for a couple of days. Eh?
Well, yeah. If I were the kind of person who went to the beach.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really come outside all that much. terrible person. I know.
I mean, you tell me this, but is it true?
Oh, it's true.
Gosh.
Yeah. But I go shopping every once in a while, you know.
Oh.
Just wander around outside, yeah.
Okay, so those are our transits coming up in this period.
What is the moon doing?
The moon, yes. Okay, so on the 3rd of August, we've got the first quarter, because the new moon happened actually the day before this cycle began. So we've got the first quarter in Scorpio. That's on the 3rd. Not actually coinciding with much else with what's going on there. And then we will we actually won't have another phase during this period, because their full moon actually starts in our next podcast period. So for some reason we only actually have first quarter during this fortnight.
So you always say, well, the moon's always moving, so at this time
okay.
It isn't, is what you're saying.
So the moon is always moving
except for this time.
No, it definitely is.
Okay. Make sure. See if I've learned
anything.
And
it's moving from the new moon. Let me get this out.
Okay.
So no, it's moving from the new moon, which is in the darkness. It's coming into the light. We should be able to see it in the evenings. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the wrong month, but anyway. And it's moving towards the light. So things are growing in this period that we're in.
Excellent. All right.
New things are starting, and you can develop your projects.
Wonderful. That sounds like a good plan.
Yes.
All right, that is our transits, and now we're going to be talking about Leo. It's our Astrology 360 topic.
I think before we start that, we
yes.
must tell our listeners about our news, our super news.
Yes, thank you. We are on iTunes. Yeah, I think we might have teased about that a long time ago, but yeah.
So our listeners can go straight up to iTunes now?
Yes, they can search Access Astrology or just Astrology, and we are there. They will see us.
They'll see our logo.
Yep.
And they can go and click through.
They can click the logo. They can click the name. They can go in and they'll see a subscribe button.
Subscribe.
Comment if you like.
We'd love to hear your comments.
Listened and loved us, you know.
Oh, and I've been a long time coming, and we must say thanks to Roger for getting us up there on
iTunes.
Our
wonderful producer, exactly. Our wonderful feed master and author.
Yes, this is a big step. It's come at a time when Mercury just went direct, so
yeah.
It was a good time for
it was
that
just
as
like
well.
Click and it all fell in place.
And we are very pleased. We were discussing it before the show that it's really a step forward for us, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
Playing with the big boys.
Yeah, are indeed. So you can find us there. You can also go to our website, accessastrology.com, and subscribe to us there.
Yes.
And see all our show notes and all of our links and all the charts that we talk about and all of our back episodes. We have almost a year's worth now.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's evergreen. A lot of it's evergreens, which means that it keeps going all the time, whereas other stuff is just time-based on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. You can go back and listen to all of our, you know, sign-based once a month we talk about each of the signs, or at least we have until now. We'll have to start talking about something else.
And we've got,
and
we
in
have
between,
other.
We have all the different, we've had the money planets.
We have a lot of podcasts that in there now.
All different topics.
I'm not quite sure if you go to iTunes, if you can click through to the site or click through to your site or my
yep,
site.
Yep. On the left, I think, there's a little link that says website. It doesn't say the name of it, but it just says website.
Okay.
And you click it and you go to us. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awesome.
And you can find out a little bit more about what we're doing and what we're not doing.
Exactly. Yes.
Good.
All right. So now, Astrology 360 Leo. And one of us is a Leo.
Yes. Yes. I have to raise my paw.
Yes.
And admit that, yes, I'm a Leo. And finally, we got round to my side.
Indeed. And you're wearing leopard print today, which is...
Well, it's one of my go-to patterns. It really is.
Well, me too, actually, but not today.
Okay.
These tiger stripes are a little, you know, leopard. It's almost like a neutral. Fine.
I've always liked a leopard print.
Yeah.
I'll go with a tiger as long as it doesn't look zebra.
Yeah. Well, I have a. It's green.
Green
tiger stripes. That's a joke.
But I would never
go
for something like, you know, these python cobra looking reptiles. Mm. Never ever. It's always the cats. Always the big cats.
Yeah, I do have oddly enough, a python jacket, but it's really cool.
You,
it's like a blonde color, so it's not. It doesn't look like, you know.
Yes.
Sneaky.
It's kind of the big cats, because I know even the you know, the black pumas, I think in South America, they actually still have spots on them, but they're all in black, you know.
Yeah.
So even though they're not beige and brown,
right? Yeah.
Like the leopards and cheetahs, what we see in Africa.
Yeah.
They still have spots on them, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, totally. It's a good pattern.
So anyway.
Yes.
Leo the lion, fifth sign of the zodiac, fire sign.
Yes, masculine. Fixed fire sign. So it's a fixed sign along with Aquarius.
Scorpio.
And
Taurus.
Goodness, Taurus, yes. It's like a test.
It is. You've got me on the go, yes.
So they're, fixed. What's fixed sign mean? What is that?
It means we really do not like change.
Yeah.
Do not like change. And we say, oh, sure, we're flexible. We're not.
Yeah. I've noticed.
And it actually goes to quite a detailed extent, which I don't know if I can go into it, but things at home are just so...
Yeah. It's funny because it's the opposite of mutable signs. We might say we don't like change because we don't like surprises, but we're completely fine with change. We just roll with it, you know?
And you're saying because you're a mutable sign.
Yeah,
Virgo.
Being a Virgo, okay. It's kind of the opposite of...
No, fixed sign. You open my drawer and it's just how it was 20 years ago. It's color-coded. It's quite a thing.
That's cool. I like the color-coded. That's good.
It's just fixed. Yeah. Change. I don't like moving house. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I go kicking and screaming into things like that, or having to change in general. I find it, in a way, it's not that it's unnerving, but it can be.
Yeah.
You have to move to a new city or come to Vancouver or whatever it is. It's huge.
Yeah.
Other people are taking it in their stride with a knapsack on the back, and I'm not. I'm dragging behind.
Well,
so
there's a whole lot of identity sort of, you know, that has to change when you move to a new place.
It's,
you can't just, you know, you feel like you are taking it all with you on your back, but, you know, kind of, it's a different thing.
Oh my God,
you are definitely, you know, moving into a new shell.
Yes. Yeah. So fixed, I think that has to do a lot to do with, and also fixed with attitudes as well. If I decide I don't like, I don't know, country and western music.
Right.
It's going to take a mountain to change me from my decision that I made when I was six.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, but the good thing stays, well, if I decide I like you and you're my friend, you're my friend for life, because that also doesn't change. So,
That's a good thing.
It kind of swings around about, but you can be like, you know, people say, for God's sake, get with it, you know. And I'm still saying, oh, yeah, but, you know, you got to wear your skirt or whatever it is, you know.
Totally. Well, it's funny because, well, it's ruled by the sun.
Yes.
So this is, you know, obviously for us in the Northern Hemisphere, that's a summer thing. It's sun and it's Leo.
Warmest time of the year.
Yeah. And it's ruled by the lion, which is the king of the jungle.
Yes.
And it rules the heart in medical astrology.
Yes, it does.
Which is interesting. If you look at a lot of the people who are Leos historically, there's a sort of body type that, like, for the men, there's a sort of barrel-chested sort of male, you know, kind of lionish sort of body type that seems to go along with it, which is really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's that. Entertainers. I mean, I've got three categories that I think of being quintessential.
Oh, yes,
Leo.
Tell me.
Entertainers, the leaders, like the world leaders, the your Napoleons, your Bill Clinton, your Barack Obama, your Fidel Castro. I could go on and on and on.
Yes.
But, you know, larger than life sort of leaders. And movie directors. Alfred Hitchcock, James Cameron, Stanley Kubrick, Christopher Nolan, to name only just a tiny few. Yeah, I mean, James Cameron's like... And it's funny because they are also not just directors, but the tyrants of directors. You know, like the directors who people go, oh my God, he's hellish to work for, but his movies are so amazing. Like Stanley Kubrick, just notoriously abusive to his actors, really. I mean, you know, Shelley Duvall talking about being in tears like almost every day on the set of The Shining. But people look back on that as like just a masterpiece.
Yeah, still.
James Cameron, same thing. I mean,
well, he's Canadian, you know.
Oh, yeah. I know. So don't think that all Canadians are modest or necessarily. I mean, you know, when you're James Cameron, really, there's no reason to be modest. I mean, gone farther under water, like deeper in the underneath the ocean than any human, which is crazy. That's just, why anyone even want to do that? It's just, you know, terrifying. The idea of being at the bottom of the Mariana Trench is just horror, but that's pretty remarkable. And he, funding the expedition to find the Bismarck, the whole...
Titanic.
Yeah, Titanic, obviously that too. But after that, then he was just all, you know, all about the submersibles and funding expeditions down to the, let's go find this one, let's go find that one. And then Bismarck, they had this huge documentary in the IMAX, and he's down there going, look at the Bismarck. Amazing. I mean, that's just pretty cool. When you get that much power and money and you do your job really, really well, you can do whatever.
Directors
you want.
Is a good word, definitely. Directors, definitely.
Yeah. And in the entertainer category, we've got Madonna, we've got Jennifer Lopez, we've got Sean Penn, Ben Affleck, Kevin Spacey, one that passed away, Philip Seymour Hoffman, so Leo.
Really?
Yeah. So just brilliant actors in that.
You see, Leo is the sign of the actor. Many actors have strong Leo, or Leo on the midheaven is their career.
Yeah.
Because everybody has Leo somewhere in their chart.
Right. Yeah.
So we won't have any of this. I would like to mention, we've got two people here with Leo Mid-Evans.
Yes,
hello.
I was wondering if you would ever mention that.
Yeah, it's true. And putting it out there together in a way, entertaining way.
I like to say that it comes out in my big hair, mostly.
Right. Yes, it does.
The mane.
Yes, it does. But you see, it's still mid-heaveny, so it's still going to come out through this podcast.
Yeah.
And what are the colours? Who chose the colours? Royal purple. Who chose that?
Oh, yeah, I like purple.
I knew it was somebody. And, you know, these are the colours, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
The sun also rules the heart as well. The spine, I'm, I'll rather say.
Oh, does it?
The back, yes.
Oh, interesting.
The actual backbone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these entertainers, interestingly, because in that first ebook I put out, Madonna is my example chart throughout.
Oh, excellent.
Because
she's an interesting chart.
Yeah, well, she's a Leo. What could I say? I knew who she was. I liked her music. She used to get up everybody's nose. But anyway, so I use her chart because she's bigger than life, larger than life.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez, well, you know, what can one say?
Mm-hmm.
Sean Indeed. Penn, I mean, him and Madonna together, you wonder, you just wonder, don't you?
And Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez.
Must have just been a clash.
Can you imagine?
Ego. Because the sun rules, Leo, the sun is also the planet that rules your ego.
Right, yeah.
And your identity and who you are. And when the sun or Leo is strong in your chart, you put yourself forward and you can't help it. That's what you're here to do, right?
Yeah, so if you're an actor or, you know, an entertainer and just with a huge lifestyle and a huge profile, it's probably going to be attractive to be, you know, someone who will understand that and who will reflect it back at you. And it's going to be great until you get into a room alone together, you know? And then things might not go all that well after a short while.
Do you have any planets in Leo?
No. Okay. I just barely missed having Mercury in Leo.
Oh.
It's like just 0 and 13 minutes or something into Virgo.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, we can look into that as well.
Yeah.
I've got some...
What do you have aside from the sun?
Mercury and Uranus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And the ascendant, right? So it's like, I can't help
it. It's all happening.
I know, I come in here and I go, and you're going...
No, it's great, it's great.
I've done that live.
Well, I mean, we hardly go outside. It's good to have the sun coming in here, you know?
Well... So yeah, so it's entertainment, it's leaders. Leaders is, I'm not, I don't know, I understand what you're saying with leaders, but it's, I don't really personally like leaders as a keyword for Leo. I prefer organizers.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, Napoleon, geez, you know, he was like a strategic genius, you know, and just a lot of what's interesting about him is actually what he
came from nowhere.
What he orchestrated, as opposed to
he organized.
Yeah,
thank you.
And I mean, he had all these scientists, and the Rosetta Stone wouldn't have that if it wasn't for Napoleon's grand plan to do all this stuff and pillage the Middle East and bring back artifacts. And
so that's interesting, because I understand he was a terribly short guy as well, but he just, and that, now we say it, a Napoleon complex, meaning you just think you're bigger than you are.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a Leo thing, and I'm afraid to say it is, yeah. A lot of them. And what about Bill Clinton?
Well,
everybody still loves him.
He's such a classic Leo. He's just my example of a Leo that comes to mind before anybody else. I can't help it. And I mean, I'm one of the target markets for the Clinton charm, I think. I was in college, like, when he first ran for president. He was the first person I voted for and whatnot.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
And my mother, you know, we voted together. It's sort of a generational
thing. Oh, my goodness.
Because my mother and him are in the same generation, roughly. He's older than...
gosh. And yet he went, through two terms or whatever it was?
Yeah, And then at the end of it, nobody wanted him to leave. And can you imagine? Can you blame them, really, you know, thinking about what came next? But... he did this little short movie of, like, in his last months in office. I can't remember who funded it. It might have been an NBC thing. I can't remember. It ran on television. It was basically like a 20-minute thing of just him, like, screwing around in the White House, like, just biding his time while, like, the months ticked in the last few days, like, playing pinball and things. And I can't remember exactly, but it was so endearing. Everyone just loved him, even at the end, even after all the scandals, all the... awful things that he did, that all presidents
scandals.
Do.
And you see now, because Leo is that fifth sign one, which is love affairs and where love starts. And love affairs do come in that area.
Mm.
And no matter what he did, somehow we've still forgiven him. And we still get thousands to come and talk.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And Hillary's standing there.
Yep, Scorpio. Hillary the Scorpio.
Still standing next to him.
Yep.
Would you?
I don't know. That's hard to say. I don't really know if they're... Yeah, I mean, I can't think of them as, like, just another couple. I mean, they've got such a... They're like a power couple. It's a different thing altogether. I don't think of it as, like, a normal
relationship. And interestingly, he often wore yellow and gold ties.
Really?
Yeah, now, the others usually go red or blue, depending if they're Democrat or Republican. But he actually would wear gold and yellow ties, and that's very much a Leo thing,
too. Interesting.
I
don't remember that, though.
Yes, yes.
What I remember vividly, though, is that in the last few years, when he's been on, like, The Daily Show or something, because I don't tend to watch the news, I'll watch The Daily Show online, he'll come on the show, and he'll have, like a really nice, like, gray suit, like a steel gray, and, like, a lavender tie or something. Something really interesting and just... eye-catching, and I have to think he's going for the ladies still, you know, not in that way, but voting-wise, like, because he wants women to get out and vote for his wife. He's still campaigning. Mm-hmm. Every appearance he makes, he's campaigning for something.
It's showtime.
Yeah,
when Leos leave their house, it's showtime.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. And then what did he, I mean, he went to, like, North Korea and got those two girls back? When
and
they
he sorted out Northern Ireland as well. He negotiated that bit.
Jeez,
had a good go at the Middle East, but anyway,
I mean, between the Leos and the Libras, really, like, presidentially, like, as they're done being president, then, you know.
They still have a life afterwards. They can still, like, parlay whatever they did into something else.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what about our next one, Barack Obama?
Well, I think it's hard to say. I have mixed feelings. We'll see. You know, we'll see how history shakes out on that one.
Okay.
I think in the long run, I mean, I was, you know, obviously among the early supporters and then the early disillusioned. And But I think historically we'll look back on it as a good presidency, I think. Better, you know, than average. It's really hard to say, though, because there was so much hype. There was so much, drama around the whole election, and then just so much angst and vitriol, and people on his side being crushed and disappointed when he wasn't, like, the second coming of somebody. And but I think in the long run we'll look back on it as a positive experience overall. And I really wish his wife and daughters well, you know, because that's got to be rough.
Right.
That's all I want to say about that.
I don't know where you're going with all of that, but
I do have mixed feelings because of, you know, being American on the one hand and Canadian on the other, you know. Follow politics. But yeah.
And Fidel Castro, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You talk about the orator and the, you know, bringing the, I mean, the 8-hour long speeches. And
Showtime. And he's got his outfit on.
Oh, his outfit, definitely. Yes. And he's, you know, just like, okay, if you look at the old pictures of him and Che Guevara together, like, that's the early 60s right there, just encapsulated. Mm. And it's like these icons of sort of rugged revolutionary masculinity and, you know, ego. I mean, obviously Fidel wasn't quite as beautiful as Che, but definitely had
staying power.
Oh yes. My God, what was it, 900 and something assassination attempts that they've unclassified? These are the ones that they're actually admitting to American presidents, that 900 and something assassination attempts on Fidel Castro that they've admitted. And he just outlasted all of them.
Amazing. You know? Well, he's been in power long before I was born, I'm not a spring chicken.
2 years ago, when he was definitely still in power, officially. He was the longest lived of any world leader, which is pretty amazing. Mm. This little tiny island. And I mean, he did what he came to do, you know?
Exactly.
Big time.
Yes,
big time.
Yes. Yeah. It's just, you know, Leos can be overpowering, I know that. But really, if you're not a Leo, how do you enjoy the Leo month of the year?
It's always good for me, I think.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a hell of a lot better than, like, the Aries month is always a rough one for me.
Okay.
Oh, God, April. Mm-hmm. Just, I dread April. But, August is always good. July, August.
So do we have a couple of charts we're going to look into it with a little bit more depth?
Indeed.
Of Leo people, clearly.
Yeah, and here is an interesting one.
Oh, look, okay,
I know, I see. This is awesome. And I'm gonna pass this over to you if you wanted to glance at those. I know they're small,
right.
I'm sorry.
Thank you so much for these microscopic charts you're handing me over in true Vergoan style.
To find one page.
Unfortunately, I'm gonna put my glasses.
I'm calling this the Master and Mistress of Suspense. Appropriately.
Okay.
Because we are talking about legendary film director Alfred Hitchcock, born August 13th, 1899, in a northeast suburb of London. Mm-hmm. And his wife, Alma Reville? I'm going to say Reville. Mm-hmm. The woman with whom he would collaborate for more than half a century. They would make 54 movies together. And she was born the next day, August 14th, 1899, 3 hours north by train of London in Nottingham Hospital. And they were married in 1926. They moved to California, actually during World War II. They made movies, they raised one daughter in the Hollywood Hills. They kept their family in, you know, this kind of sort of secluded sort of, you know, a lion's den of
you protect,
you know,
the cubs.
Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he, you know, was obviously a Hollywood legend during his life, in the prime of his life, but he kept his family in a snug little, kind of separate little enclave. She didn't really enjoy the spotlight all that much, but people that knew them knew that she was every bit as involved in all his films as he was. And when he accepted the American Film Institute's Lifetime Achievement Award in 1979, he said, "I ask permission to mention by name only four people who have given me the most affection, appreciation, and encouragement and constant collaboration. The first of those four is a film editor, the second is a scriptwriter, the third is the mother of my daughter Pat, and the fourth, as fine a cook as ever performed miracles in a domestic kitchen. And their names are Alma Reville."
Loyal.
And they were married until the day he died in 1980. She died 2 years later. And they were obviously responsible for some of the most iconic, most brilliant, most, you know, groundbreaking at the time. And now they've gone on to become cliches in their own right because everyone has copied them ever since then. Some of the most amazing films in that category, in a category that I see on my Netflix recommendations all the time. The visually striking psychological thrillers.
Is that you? Is that your sectoral?
Apparently. Psycho, Suspicion, Dilemma for Murder.
These are your films, yeah?
No, these are Alfred Hitchcock's films, but I mean, I've seen them all. Rear Window.
I can't get through the first dirt.
Jimmy Stewart. Oh, they're so good. They're so good. And Grace Kelly. Oh, beautiful. I mean, I was just doing the research for this topic. I was watching all these clips on, if you've never gone to this website, if you're a film buff, movieclips.com. It is great. You can watch all kinds of clips based on like keywords. You can watch them by actor, you can watch them by director, you can watch them by cinematographer. You can watch all the love scenes in the rain, you know, like in a row. It's amazing.
Oh gosh.
And you can do the same on YouTube, obviously, but yeah. Anyway, it was fun. It made me want to watch all those movies like all over again from the beginning. Or at least
so. Which is your favorite Hitchcock movie then?
Probably Rear Window. Rear Window is mm-hmm. you know, as close to a perfect film as for that genre. Obviously, Vertigo was actually voted the I think it was AFI or AMC the best film of all time. It actually usurped the position of Citizen Kane, which had been up at the top for like 50 years or something. And Vertigo, just in the last few years, crept up to take the number one spot.
Okay.
So, Leo, at the top of the pile.
So, what do you think about these charts?
Well, they're very similar, but the places where they're different, a couple of things, and I'm going to have to snag that my notes back from you.
So, these are two people. They're born exactly 24 hours virtually after each other. So, virtually none of the planets have moved.
Right.
They also have the same ascendant.
Yes. Well, we don't know her time of birth, so we're just assuming. We're going to guess. I didn't assume, as far as her chart goes, it's up there as an unknown. So I'm not lying. But on his, it's supposedly 3:15 p.m. and doesn't have a great rating, but we're just going to go with that because...
We like Leo rising for Hitchcock. You got to.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Okay.
It works. And if it's not, we're going with all the other aspects.
Yes,
the other aspects are fine. So they both have Pluto and Neptune conjunct in Gemini, which was a generational...
Right.
Connection.
Okay.
But I think that's a really interesting one because one of their first films was The Foreign Correspondent, and then of course you have Lifeboat, and he was one of the, you know, instrumental directors in bringing the well, obviously the, you know, myriad reasons why America joined the war eventually, et cetera, et cetera. But one of the big things was all these, you know, films and all this news coverage coming out, and the guy from Good Night and Good Luck, Edward R. Murrow, you know, as a correspondent. Very similar, in fact, to the Foreign Correspondent main character, trying to get the U.S. into the war. And you know, look, your poor brethren over here in the U.K. are getting bombed every day by the Germans. You know, come join us. And he was one of those who was doing that. You know, he was a, I suppose you'd say, a warmonger. But this is what I'm saying about Pluto and Neptune conjunct in Gemini.
Okay.
Was the, you know, information and psychology and all these things that became very much a part of the movies at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, propaganda also. I mean, if you want to say it that way, it's, you know, all those movies of the 30s and 40s are very kind of single-minded in their, you know.
Message, yes.
Yeah, exactly. But that, I think, I see that a lot in Pluto and Neptune conjunct in Gemini, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what else do they have? That conjunction there is opposite their North Node, which is in Sagittarius. And Saturn, which is conjunct their North Node. So that's mm-hmm. an interesting little, what's the word?
So how are two people who've got got the planets in the exact same positions live with each other? Is it like looking in a mirror, or do they just do the same thing all the time?
In a weird way. I mean, you know, who can say what any relationship is like behind closed doors?
But one wonders, right?
Well, I mean, 2 years ago, there two movies came out that were both about Hitchcock, both about his, you know, maybe... illicit, but probably not, relationship with his, you know, his leading ladies, and
yes.
and specifically with, good Lord, what's her name? The one that was in The Birds, Tippi Hedren. One of the movies basically had, you know, had him as like this sort of kindly, grandfatherly, sort of just encouraging, but maybe a little bit lascivious, ha ha ha, wink kind of character. That was the one played by, Anthony Hopkins, which was really remarkable, actually. I wouldn't have expected him to be great at that. But it's Anthony Hopkins, of course. What am I saying? He's going to be great. And so that was a really good movie. But the other one was also, I didn't see it, but apparently it was more like sinister side of Alfred Hitchcock, with the potentially, you know, more lascivious than winking, more kind of predatory side,
uh-huh.
which a lot of that's been debunked, and a lot of people came to his defense, including, I believe, his daughter, Pat, came, and after that movie came out, were like, this is bullshit, it's not, that's not who he was. So, but it's interesting that those came out the same mm-hmm. year, and that actually happens a lot. So I think that their relationship was probably, I mean, it's like what he said with the, and those four women are you know, are all my wife, it's kind of like the two of them were Alfred Hitchcock, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, she was literally...
He could not have done it without her.
No.
Kind of, because he even said so at that speech. That's exactly what they're saying.
Right. He said specifically, I might be in this room if it wasn't for her, but I would be one of the slower waiters in this room. I would not be on the stage. Which is really sweet, you know?
This is it. They're loyal to the end. Hey?
Oh, yeah.
Absolute to the end.
Totally.
But I just wonder how it would be, because living with people who have got all your planets the same,
yeah,
even their moons are in the same sign. So, I mean,
yeah,
they are just going to react as one. It's going,
yeah,
to be like...
Oh, and their moons are in Scorpio.
That's what I say.
Conjunct Jupiter in his case. Hers is just out of the conjunction and his is conjunct. So moon conjunct Jupiter. I mean, wow.
Scorpio.
In Scorpio. Like all of that darkness, all of that, everything you see in the movies, there's...
right there. Yes.
Exactly. And the ego thing too, because he put his picture or himself in a walk-on cameo
in
every one of his movies, every single one. This is a Leo. This is so great. It's perfect. And she, you know, supposedly didn't like the spotlight and just was really happy to
that is correct.
Stand in his shadow, so to speak.
Not all are, you see. It's,
yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But you can get behind someone you believe in, absolutely.
Yeah. But she had, her hand is all over all of his movies. The scene in Psycho, the shower scene, famous. The only reason that got into the movie at all in the first place was due to her vision of how it could be done. The music that completely contributes to the success of that scene, in some people's opinion, makes the scene what it is. Was all her recommendation. He didn't like the music at all and wanted something different, or no music, would have been disaster.
Mm.
And the thing would have been completely rejected by the censors if anything had gone kind of slightly wrong in that scene. If you've seen it, you know what we're talking about. And she had like just the perfect detailed eye for all of these things, and she helped do all of the editing in the room, so to speak. So yeah,
it's amazing. Yeah,
so it's not his fault all those women that couldn't take showers after that movie came out. That's all Alma.
Now, I heard that the reason that he actually ended up being in all his movies was that he entered as in the earlier movies. He took these little roles and that because they were short and
he
didn't have the budget. And eventually what happened was that he got bigger and people went back to those movies and would wait to see where's Hitchcock.
Right.
And they wouldn't be listening to the rest of the story.
So
until
he started doing it early on in
so
the movie.
So he started coming in early in the first few scenes to get it over with.
Yeah.
And then
so they can pay attention to the movie. It's
true. So even though it looks
like an ego thing, but really,
it's actually a way to make the person, the viewer, should I say, pay attention to what he's actually created there.
Right. And I mean,
but
that
it does
too.
Come across as, oh, yeah.
Mm. It is a little bit of that, too. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Interesting that you found two people who were married for, God knows how long, you said.
54 years.
Yeah, they won't get fixed. This is a fixed.
54 years and 54 movies.
Fixed moon as well. Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. So there you go.
Yeah. They both got Venus conjunct the Sun in Leo.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, just the appeal of their movies, the how everybody loves them. And and also the beautiful actresses, the most, perfect blonde, icy sort of goddesses of the screen, like from the early 60s. I mean, Grace Kelly, Tubby Hedren, can't even think
of
their
movie
names.
Stars. They
movie
were actresses.
Stars.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
that's
you watch Dial M for Murder. Like, God, Grace Kelly, and that is just so ridiculously beautiful.
This is great. I think you picked two good examples there for Leo.
Yeah, indeed.
I mean, it's just, where would you, you could have picked anybody, right?
Indeed, yeah. It's neat, too, because Uranus where is it? Yeah, Uranus in Sagittarius. So that is exactly square to Mars, which is an interesting, not exactly square, like a, degree off of, but that's an interesting one for the, the shocking violence and the
yes,
because,
yes.
Now all these movies and, all the TV that's now on is worse by far than, than most of his movies, but they were shocking at the time. They were very shocking, very,
I have
different.
To admit that I haven't watched many of those because I don't like horrors at all. They disturb me.
Yeah. But I mean, you'd probably see worse things on the previews for Game of Thrones than you would see in an Alfred Hitchcock movie. Mm. Just, because it was the early 60s and before, and there was just simply not, you weren't going to see people beheaded and, blood gushing everywhere. You're going to see some artistic sort of, I'm doing this thing with my shoulder to indicate shower scene, but, I mean, it's they're scary and they're psychological, but really the gore factor is negligible. Really just stylistic and really...
I think it's the psychological bit that gets me, you see.
Oh, it could be, okay, yeah. And
praying
and
on
then here I am being the Virgo trying to say, well, it's not the gore, really.
Yeah, I am, blood and guts.
Blood and guts.
So these two were born August 13, 1899. That was him, and she was born August 14, 1899. And you're going to put the charts up on the the site for sure. How indeed, interesting.
Yeah.
And the link to that movie?
Oh, movieclips.com. Yeah.
Movieclips.com.
Yeah, okay. I'll link to that, totally. Yeah. And if you, you know, if you're out there watching Hitchcock clips, I would recommend Rear Window, definitely, and The Birds. Those two movies are so good. There's this one scene in The Birds that's, what's her name? She's, the birds have attacked. They've you know, they are not just being menacing and perching, they're, you know, and looking, and which is the first half of the movie, which is so creepy and great. But they've actually, for real, just, you know, they're going for it. And everyone's just going mad, and everyone's running around, and like a fire, you know, starts at this gas station, and cars are on fire, and it's amazing. I mean, from 1963 or whatever it was, just, you know, incredible special effects, really well done. And she, you know, takes refuge in a phone booth, and then this car's coming towards her, and it's going to crash into the phone booth, and then birds, you know, fly into the guy's window and peck his eyes out, and it's, you're not going to watch this movie ever.
It's just
so great. Oh.
No, I watched a movie, maybe you've even seen it, when I was 17, called Burnt Offerings.
I've not seen that.
And it's a horror movie.
It sounds...
And we went to the cinema. I went with my brother. I was young.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I can manage a horror movie now. I'm a big girl now. Well, I was hanging onto his forearm so tightly.
Yeah.
He was bruised from his shoulder to his elbow for the week afterwards. I couldn't look. And that movie kept me awake for like 6 months. I just couldn't.
I've heard that name. I'm going to have to look that up and see.
Oh, you need to watch that. No, it scared me.
I need to watch
it. It scared me. You probably love
it. Have you seen it? Have you seen it since then?
No, I wouldn't even I wouldn't even dream it. Just...
Do you remember what it's about at all, or just that you were scared?
Well, it was just this guy with, he's got these coffins and he's keeping people in them. And I don't know. It just, the psychology of it all just preys on my mind. So I do tend to avoid horrors.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about The Birds is that there's no psychology, because you just, there's no explanation. It's just like, the birds are mad. they've had enough. we're the top predator, and the birds are coming for us. It's basically what it boils down to.
So, because you're very much into movies, Owen, do you watch all the movies that come through, or do you pick and choose, or watch all any of the Oscars, or
I always watch the Oscars.
Nominated, I mean,
I always watch the Oscars.
Red carpet.
Yeah, red carpet. I watch all the awards. I get all excited about the people that are winning, and even though, you know, I know that it's all politics and bull, whatever, you know, I whine about it. I talk to my mother the whole time on Skype. We'll get on Skype and we'll type the whole time through. It's great. It's fun. And I'll be like, oh my God, Jennifer Lawrence, yay, I'm so happy, I gotta go see that movie sometime.
You know? Okay.
Yeah, it's fun. But, you know, as far as new movies, I mean, you can watch like full movies on YouTube and find any movie you want, which is awesome.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's really, yeah.
Everything's out there.
Yeah, it's great. So there's that.
And excellent. So that's Leo.
That is Leo. Do you have any other thoughts on Leo? Just as like people, not necessarily
love us more.
Yes. No. Hug the Leo next to you.
No, don't do that.
Okay.
It's terrible. You know, when you're double Leo, because the ascendant of the sun is there and then two more planets, I'm sorry, but that's what you see. Mm-hmm. You will contest it, that, will you?
You're a Leo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, because it's all there in the first house, all in the ascendant, you see it, right? Yeah. And the Mercury's on the ascendant. But there are other planets in my chart that you won't necessarily see until the day comes. But still, they're there, right? So, I don't know. In a way, they're independent. Just do their own thing and protect the cubs. Definitely, definitely protect the cubs. We'll die killing. And that's about all that would generally get me worked up about anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, female lions are my favorite animal, pretty much, aside from humans, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, in the jungle, of course, if there are females with cubs and two other males come along, they will kill those cubs.
The women have to, I mean, the women are the...
I know, terrible.
They're amazing. No, I mean, like, if you've seen the, you know, the classic documentary of the female lion stalking the what have you, you know, the poor soon-to-be lunch thing. We won't personify it by, you know, naming a species of prey, but because the point of it is just how amazingly adapted for for what they do, the female lion. The male lion, whatever, they got the mane, they got the, you know, fine. But they do nothing. They just, like, lie around and flick their tails a bit, and they don't ever really look as regal in the wild, because the women probably don't feed them enough. They are usually a little bit scrawny and, you know, whatever. And who can blame them, really? I mean, the women, they're doing all the work, and boy, do they. I mean, they go off a couple of them at a time, and they just spot something, and they're just like, all right, they have the little eye signals to each other, and then, you know, they'll be running alongside of it and just heading it off right at the right time and just colliding with it and taking it down. And you don't even get the sense that they want it to suffer at all. It's not like killer whales, how they'll just do horrible things with their prey. But they just merciful chomp. One swift motion, it's over.
It really is over.
And
yes,
they're feasting.
When we lived in South Africa, we were right on the border of the Kruger National Park where all the lions are kept. And you could go in and see these things and really, you know, it's and tourists would continuously get out of their cars and they'd say, don't get out your car, you know.
Yeah.
And every year someone would get snacked up.
Oh my gosh. By a lion.
Oh yeah. Oh. Well, that's what if not them, then the other car.
Not that I'm ever going to go there, but see, that to me seems a little bit more honorable than alligator. Just, that speciesist, I know. It's terrible of me to say that, but it's kind of like, okay, you know, I can see that. If you had to be killed by a wild animal, that's all. If you had to be. A lion, I think, would be better than an alligator. That's all.
Okay. Well, wonderful? Wonderful. And, you know, we all have cats at home, don't we? I mean, I've had cats all my life, and they're just the same. That if you've got a mouse, they'll have it, and there's nothing you can do. That's just how it is.
Unless they want to deposit it on your pillow, which happens to you. So my mother can attest to that. She's veterinary clinic, and they've had cats all their lives. And
so it's kind of funny because the actual animal we all can relate to.
Oh yeah, totally.
You know, whereas some of the other animals you can't kind of relate to them. I think sometimes
sea goat, for example. Yeah.
No, I mean in astrology.
No, sea goat. Right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I can't relate to that at all. No offense, Capricorns, but
and two fish. I mean, I don't know what you do. Put two fish in a bowl, and yet they do. The Pisces do. They do that.
Yes. They do.
Anyhow.
Yeah, lion.
So that's
it. That's Leo. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Well, do we have a book review?
I actually do have a book
review. Wonderful.
I'd like to review if we
I would love that.
Enough time.
Look at you.
Look at me. But I'm hoping we are. I know I've reviewed this one.
No, you have not.
Okay,
it looks like a graphic novel.
It is.
What?
I will let you look at it in a moment. Let me read the cover.
I'm so excited.
Where have you been? Okay. This is, let me get it right. This is Uranus, U-R-I-N-S, USA. It's difficult to say. It says Uranus. Astrology looks at the first planet and nation of the New World by Nick Dagan Best. Now, Nick is an astrologer in Montreal.
Yes.
He came to Vancouver last year and spoke and promoted this book whilst he was doing a West Coast tour. He went down to Los Angeles and San Francisco and everything. And this book is actually about, it's only about Uranus, and it's only about the ingresses into Gemini that have happened in the past.
I listened to an interview actually with him and Chris Brennan. It was about that. And
exactly about this book.
Yeah.
It's an excellent book, and if you're into American history, and I'll lend it to you for this fortnight till I come back next time.
That is so cool looking. Just, I have to say, visually, that's, sorry for all of our listeners out there, but wow, that is the coolest looking thing.
So what he's actually done is he's broken it down into three actual Uranus ingresses that he discusses in it. And we're talking to the first ingress into tropical Gemini, regarding how this affects America, the USA, and what happened and with the Civil War and all the rest of it. And what he's coming to in the end, when you get through the whole book, which is richly colored,
black pages,
and
white
a graphic
text,
novel,
red
it's
everywhere.
Great.
It's very
you can
neat.
Also get a PDF version for your computer, which is great.
Nice.
It would probably make more sense to you about the actual history of America.
Oh, yeah.
But what he's then purporting to is the point of the next entry. This is what we're trying to kind of get to with this book, is the next entry of Uranus into Gemini, which will be coming up, I don't know what, in 14 years' time.
14
Gemini's years-ish. At the moment in halfway through Aries. It will go through Taurus and then it will enter Gemini.
Yeah.
And he's discussing slightly further on about what the...
How exciting.
So it's a very specific book because it's Uranus Gemini.
Yeah.
And And he's obviously well, highly knowledgeable. He gave a great lecture when he was here. Thanks, Nick. And yeah, it's he's quite much into history as well as astrology, so I think that has a lot to do with
definitely
why he particularly wrote this book. And when he was at SOTA, I think the year before last, he actually spoke about Uranus, and the topic of his actual talk then was, "What's up your anus?"
Oh my goodness, that's great.
So that's kind of
That just wouldn't work with my pronunciation, would it? Nope.
So it's kind of a fun book. It's very different. It's not a beginner's book, but it's something where you want to stretch your mind a little bit, and you're into history and you're into America, which I know you are.
I just so am.
By all means, give it a flick if you'd like to. You can
I
have a look
love
through.
I would to. Yeah. That's exciting as hell. Yeah.
So that's Uranus by Nick Dagan Best. And we'll put a picture up on the site.
Definitely will, yeah. How exciting. Mm. That's fabulous. I actually have no book to review today.
Oh, not today. Okay.
Not today. I would have a hard time following that anyway because I'd be so excited about your book.
So that is, that's great. Yeah.
Totally.
All right.
Well, that's been our Leo episode. Next time we'll be talking about the sun. So join us for that one.
I also want to mention my website.
Please do.
Which is, I do astrology consultations, teaching, and other stuff.
Indeed.
Recently, anyway, in the next time. And my website is starzology.com. And you can go there and find out more about me or contact me, drop us a line, whatever it is. We do have an email address.
Yes, but first, Starzology is S-T-A-R-Z ology.
Yes.
Just for anyone that, you know, was tempted to spell it differently.
Exactly.
.com. And we can both be found at accessastrology.com.
Yeah.
All our show notes, and you can subscribe to us there. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes.
And we'd like you to subscribe.
We would love it. We would love you to go to iTunes and search for Access Astrology or just Astrology. You'll find us and subscribe there. Give us reviews and comments and say nice things.
We'd love to hear from you.
We would love that. You can also email us at accessastrology@gmail.com. Write to us about what you would like us to talk about or ask us questions or just tell us how much you enjoy listening or what have you. And yeah, all of that.
Good. Yes.
Access Astrology is produced and recorded by Roger Aaron Toles. I'm Arwen O'Neill.
And I'm Allison Price.
Thank you for listening.
We'll see you next time.